In a world where terminal illness often evokes despair, Marion Cronin's debut novel offers a luminous alternative. The 100 Years of Lenny and Margot became an instant international sensation upon its 2021 release, capturing readers' hearts with its poignant exploration of friendship across generations. The novel has been embraced by celebrities like Reese Witherspoon, who featured it in her book club, and has been optioned for a major film adaptation. What makes this book extraordinary isn't just its unflinching look at mortality, but how it transforms the sterile hospital environment into a canvas for celebrating life's richness. As the pandemic forced many to confront isolation and mortality, Cronin's story arrived as a timely reminder that meaningful connections can bloom in the most unexpected places, even between a 17-year-old and an 83-year-old woman facing their final days. In the May ward of the Glasgow Princess Royal Hospital, 17-year-old Lenny Pedersen finds herself adrift. The staff avoid using the word terminal, preferring life-limiting instead, but Lenny knows the truth. Her days are numbered. Rather than attending counseling, she creates her own form of therapy by visiting the hospital chapel, where she meets Father Arthur, a 60-year-old priest who becomes her unlikely confidant. During their first encounter, Lenny asks the hardest question, "Why am I dying?" Father Arthur admits that why questions are the most difficult. "Living and dying are both complete mysteries," he tells her, "and you can't know either until you have done both." Despite her irreverent challenges to his faith, Father Arthur offers Lenny something precious, honesty, and a sanctuary where everything is confidential. Meanwhile, a temporary employee at the hospital's patient experience and well-being department secures funding for an art therapy room. Though the temp loses her job due to budget cuts, her creation, the Rose Room, becomes the setting for a life-changing encounter. When Lenny finally gains permission to visit the art room, she meets Pippa, the art teacher, and names the space the Rose Room in honor of the departed temp who created it. During her first official session, Lenny feels disconnected from the other young patients discussing Netflix and social media. Unlike them, she feels an urgency to have fun because of her limited time. Everything changes when Lenny encounters Margot, an elderly woman in a purple cardigan. When Pippa overhears them discussing death and awkwardly tries to redirect the conversation, Margot confides, "I'm dying too," creating an immediate bond. As they paint stars together, Margot's symmetrical on inky blue, Lenny's asymmetrical on black, they sign their work with their ages, Lenny, age 17, and Margot, 83. Looking at the numbers side by side, Lenny realizes, between us, we're 100 years old. This simple observation becomes the catalyst for an extraordinary project. In the middle of the night, Lenny rushes to Margot's ward with a sudden inspiration. "We should paint them, one for every year." They decide to create 100 paintings representing their combined ages. Through this creative endeavor, they begin sharing their life stories, creating a tapestry of experiences spanning an entire century. As Lenny and Margot's friendship deepens, they begin revealing the formative experiences that shape them. Margot shares stories from her childhood in 1940s Glasgow, where World War II cast long shadows over her family life. 9-year-old Margot's father joined the army, leaving her with her mother and a cold, cruel grandmother who arrived unexpectedly. One Sunday morning in 1940, Margot discovered her father had hidden love notes throughout their home before leaving for war. Her mother collected these notes in a mason jar, each one bringing her a smile that had been missing since he left. The war's trauma continued long after the fighting ended. In 1946, 15-year-old Margot witnessed her father's lasting psychological wounds when a slipper crashed through her parents' bedroom window in the middle of the night. Her father, a veteran, instinctively believed it was a bomb and threw himself on what he thought was an explosive. When light finally revealed it was just her mother's slipper, Margot found him on the floor, drenched in sweat, clutching the slipper while her mother watched helplessly. Margot stood in the doorway wondering if they knew, between them, how to fix him. Lenny's childhood memories revealed different wounds. 5-year-old Lenny in Sweden woke to crashing sounds in the middle of the night. Investigating, she found not an intruder, but her mother cooking obsessively in the kitchen with vacant eyes, as though her real eyes had gone away on holiday. This became a nightly ritual, her mother cooking elaborate breakfasts until dawn while never joining them to eat. Each morning, Lenny's father carried her downstairs to find an immaculate table with heart-shaped toast, omelets, and place cards in calligraphy. Eventually, after medical intervention, they came downstairs one morning to find her mother simply sleeping at the bare table. Her father told Lenny, "You have to forgive your mama. She was poorly," assuring her that despite everything, she loves you, Pickle. These early experiences with parental mental illness and trauma shaped both women's understanding of love, forgiveness, and resilience, themes that would echo throughout their lives. Through their painting sessions, Margot reveals her complex romantic history to Lenny. At 17, Margot's grandmother arranged a blind date with a nice boy from church, instructing her to meet him under the clock at Glasgow Central Station. When the boy never showed up, Margot was left crying until a young man on a train offered, "I could love you, if you want," as casually as offering a cough drop. By 1951, 20-year-old Margot sits with her fiancé Johnny at her mother's kitchen table, planning their wedding. The emerald engagement ring, Johnny's mother's, feels strange on Margot's finger as she contemplates married life. When her father appears, disheveled and stained pajama bottoms with a 1,000-yard stare, Margot finds it ironic that this broken man holds the traditional power to give away her hand in marriage. Margot and Johnny wed in September 1951 with shaking knees and a borrowed ring, and moved into a tiny tenement in Glasgow. Their happiness seemed complete when Margot became pregnant, and on May 11, 1953, she gave birth to a chubby baby boy named David George. Margot felt celestial love for her son as they took photos, including one where baby Davy's yellow knitted hat popped off just as his eyes opened for the first time, a photograph Margot carried in her purse for decades. But tragedy struck. In December 1953, 22-year-old Margot experienced a medical emergency while with baby Davy. Despite her visual disturbances and speech difficulties, the doctor diagnosed an ocular migraine rather than a stroke. As her symptoms worsened, Margot lay beside her baby, knowing she must say goodbye. She told Davy stories of the wonderful life he would have led. When she woke later, both her migraine and Davy were gone. The loss of her child devastated Margot's marriage. In 1956, Johnny told her he was leaving as they walked along Troon Beach. "He had your eyes," Johnny said, suggesting their shared grief over their baby's death had become unbearable. Years later, Margot's life took an unexpected turn when she moved to London and met Mina, an elfin, ethereal blonde. Their relationship blossomed into something deeper than friendship, though Margot struggled to define it. One night, while sitting on the bathroom floor as Mina vomited green pear liqueur, Margot confessed, "I think I love you." Their relationship remained complicated and unresolved, with Mina's flighty nature and involvement with a mysterious older man known as the Professor creating tension. In 1971, Margot met Humphrey James, an eccentric astronomer living in a chaotic converted farmhouse in Warwickshire. Despite his disconnect from everyday life, expired butter, outdated calendars, Humphrey was deeply connected to the stars. With him, Margot found sanctuary and calm. They married in 1979, with Mina making a surprise appearance as Margot's bridesmaid, visibly pregnant and revealing the baby would have her surname, Star. Margot and Humphrey's marriage brought stability and joy until 1997, when Humphrey began showing signs of dementia, preparing a surprise birthday celebration for Margot on the wrong date. As his condition worsened, he moved to a care home, and they established a nightly ritual where Margot would call him to describe what she saw through his telescope. When Humphrey appeared not to recognize Margot during a visit, she realized their agreement had come to pass. She had promised to leave once he forgot her. Months later, Humphrey passed away peacefully beside his telescope. While Margot shares her romantic history, Lenny reveals her own profound struggles with abandonment and the art of saying difficult goodbyes. Her story unfolds in layers, each one revealing deeper wounds and extraordinary wisdom beyond her years. When she was 15, Lenny's mother, always somewhat restless and yearning for her homeland, dropped her at her father's new house in what seemed like a temporary arrangement. The house still smelled of fresh paint and unfamiliarity, with boxes yet to be unpacked. A week later, her mother returned, not with reconciliation, but with Lenny's carefully packed belongings and a handwritten note explaining her decision to move back to Sweden. That final day remains etched in Lenny's memory with painful clarity. When her mother came to say goodbye, Lenny staged what she now recognizes as a teenager's protest, refusing to come downstairs. She sat cross-legged on her bed, convinced her mother would wait, would fight for her, as any mother should. Instead, when Lenny finally gathered the courage to look out the window, she saw only tire tracks in the gravel where the taxi had been. The memory of that empty driveway became a symbol of all subsequent goodbyes in her life. In the present, Margot, with the gentleness that comes from understanding loss herself, asks if Lenny's mother knows about her illness. Lenny reveals her father wrote a letter, but she's chosen to leave it unanswered. She prefers to preserve the image of her mother living freely in Sweden, tending her garden, perhaps teaching in a local school, unburdened by the weight of terminal illness. Lenny has witnessed too many mothers in the May Ward, their faces drawn with grief and helplessness, their eyes carrying shadows she doesn't want her own mother to bear. Perhaps the most heart-wrenching goodbye was with her father, a man who had always been her anchor. After her first major surgery at 16, Lenny observed the transformation in him, his hair graying rapidly, his normally warm presence becoming stone-like, his visits growing shorter and more strained. She watched him struggle to maintain composure in the sterile hospital environment, his hands fidgeting with unused crossword puzzles brought us distractions. Finally, in an act of profound love and maturity, Lenny made the devastating choice to set him free. She asked him to promise not to return, encouraging him to visit Poland, to reconnect with Agnieszka, the girlfriend who made him laugh with her terrible jokes and cook traditional pierogi that reminded him of his childhood. Despite his tears and passionate resistance, Lenny remained firm. "I'm setting you free." She assured him the nurses would call if she reached the end, but insisted this would be their real goodbye while she was still Lenny, still the daughter he knew, not the shadow illness might make her. The next morning, Lenny discovered Benny, the beanbag pig, her childhood comfort toy, sitting in the visitor's chair. Alongside it lay a worn photograph of her father holding her on her first birthday, her face completely covered in chocolate icing, both of them laughing with pure joy. On the back, written in her father's distinctive handwriting in green highlighter, was a simple message that said everything. "I will love you forever, Pickle." This final gift embodied their entire relationship, playful, loving, and ultimately heartbreaking in its finality. As their painting project progresses, Lenny and Margot create a makeshift family within the hospital walls. Father Arthur becomes a grandfatherly figure to Lenny, offering wisdom, companionship, and occasionally smuggling her out of the ward against hospital rules. When he conducts his final service before retirement, Lenny sits in the front row with Margot and their friends from the art class, all holding playbills she'd made. Father Arthur's final truth to Lenny is touching. "If I had a granddaughter, I would want her to be exactly like you." New nurse, with her cherry red hair and mismatched socks, one pink with cherries, one striped with a pug face, becomes Lenny's confidant and advocate. Despite occasional conflicts over hospital rules and Lenny's health restrictions, their relationship grows into genuine friendship. When Lenny asks about new nurse's planned trip to Russia, she receives only an enigmatic look in response, suggesting depths to new nurse's life outside the hospital walls. Paul the porter, with his tattoos including one of his three-year-old daughter Lola May, brings warmth and normalcy to Lenny's hospital experience. He remembers details about Lenny's visitors and offers insights that earn him what Lenny calls porter points for perceptiveness. Even Pippa, the art teacher, who seems like someone who might make her own earrings and hadn't figured out how to use her website to sell her paintings, becomes part of this improvised family. She champions Lenny and Margot's 100 paintings project, creating space for their creativity to flourish despite hospital bureaucracy. Together, these individuals form what Cronin describes as Lenny's found family, people who choose to care for each other despite having no biological connection. In the sterile hospital environment, these relationships become lifelines, infusing Lenny's final days with meaning and connection. As their project nears completion, both Lenny and Margot's health deteriorates. Lenny experiences a frightening episode where she wakes unable to breathe, feeling like her throat is sealed with glue. She collapses on the ward floor where Nurse Jackie helps her clear her airways, but she coughs up blood. Sentenced to bed rest, Lenny lies awake when Margot appears in a lilac dressing gown and tiny purple slippers, asking mischievously, "Shall we get ourselves in trouble?" They sneak out past Lenny's wheelchair, through the hospital corridors and main entrance, past the nighttime smokers in their pajamas, and into the darkness of the parking lot. Despite the cold, Lenny feels refreshingly free as Margot leads her to a dark spot behind the hospital where they gaze up at the stars. Margot shares that the stars they see clearest are already dead, yet they live on, a thought Lenny initially finds depressing but comes to see as beautiful. This stargazing adventure becomes the subject of their final 100th painting, Margot and Lenny in pajamas under a starry sky. When Lenny awakens to find her friends gathered with an LED candle-topped cake celebrating happy 100th birthday, Lenny and Margot, Pippa announces that a gallery wants to exhibit their paintings. Father Arthur asks how it feels to be 100, and Lenny remarks it feels like yesterday she was 17. While Margot jokes she doesn't look a day over 83. When Lenny's condition worsens dramatically, Margot rushes to her bedside. With Father Arthur present, Margot holds Lenny's cold hand while the nurse tearfully suggests it's time to say goodbye. Margot spins a beautiful fantasy of Lenny's future, marrying a tall man with dark hair and light eyes who sings to her, having children named Arthur and Star, living in a house with a garden. When Lenny removes her oxygen mask to ask Father Arthur if she'll get into heaven, he assures her she will, adding, "Give 'em hell," which brings her final smile. After Lenny's passing, Margot reflects that she had expected Lenny to go like a firework with chaos and commotion, Lenny's companions in life, but instead, her death was hallowed and quiet. After Lenny is taken away, Margot and Father Arthur are left feeling like surrogate parents robbed of a real daughter. Arthur comforts Margot as she weeps, eventually walking her back to her ward where they sit together and cry. In the aftermath of Lenny's death, Margot faces her own mortality as she prepares for major heart surgery. She carefully packs her hospital bag, placing Benny, the worn beanbag pig that meant so much to Lenny, prominently among her belongings. The stuffed animal serves as both comfort and connection, a tangible link to her young friend's enduring spirit. Margot has also prepared a second bag, filled with hopes and plans for Vietnam, where Mina's story began. This journey represents two possibilities: a celebration of survival with a visit to Mina's homeland, or a spiritual quest to find Lenny if the surgery proves unsuccessful. Through tears and laughter, she expresses profound gratitude to Lenny for transforming what could have been a bleak experience into something meaningful, dying much more fun than it should be. The artistic legacy of their friendship takes physical form in the 100 paintings they created together. These vibrant works, each telling a story from their combined 183 years, will be showcased in a prestigious gallery exhibition. The proceeds are earmarked for the Rose Room, ensuring that future patients will have a sacred space for creativity and connection. Their artwork, bold, honest, and full of life, stands as a testament to how art can bridge generations and capture the essence of human experience. Each painting represents not just a memory, but a moment of shared understanding between an unlikely pair of friends. Lenny's final metaphorical reflection on death reveals both wisdom and acceptance beyond her years. She reimagines her terminal diagnosis through the familiar framework of air travel. She's at the terminal, having already checked in and sent ahead her hold luggage of worldly concerns. All that remains is her carry-on, containing only what's essential for the final journey. Looking at death, her waiting plane, she makes a profound observation that strips away its overwhelming nature. It's not so big from close up. With characteristic insight, she acknowledges Margot's different timeline, understanding that her friend still has earthly tasks ahead. Buy a giant Toblerone, finish telling our story, live another 100 years. The image of Lenny in the departure lounge, surrounded by reflecting light, captures a sense of serenity and acceptance. The harsh fluorescent glare transforms into something almost ethereal, suggesting that even in life's final moments, beauty can be found. Their story ultimately transcends the boundaries of life and death, age and illness. Through their art, their shared stories, and their profound connection, Lenny and Margot have created something eternal, a testament to how friendship and creativity can illuminate even the darkest passages of human experience. The 100 Years of Lenny and Margot offers a profound meditation on how we choose to spend our final days. Rather than succumbing to despair, Lenny and Margot create meaning through art, storytelling, and connection. Their 100 paintings become not just a record of their lives, but a bridge between generations, proving that meaningful relationships can form at any age and under any circumstances. Each painting represents a year of their lives, from Margot's wartime romance to Lenny's childhood adventures in Sweden, transforming memories into tangible legacies that will outlive them both. The novel challenges conventional narratives about terminal illness, suggesting that even when time is limited, life can be rich with purpose and joy. Through their friendship, Lenny and Margot demonstrate that the end of life need not be defined solely by loss and decline, but can include discovery, creativity, and love. Their time in the hospital's art therapy room becomes a sanctuary where pain and fear take a backseat to laughter, storytelling, and artistic expression. Even the hospital staff begin to see them differently, not as patients to be pitied, but as artists and storytellers with vibrant inner lives. The story's power lies in its portrayal of intergenerational friendship. The 17-year-old Lenny and 83-year-old Margot bridge a 66-year age gap with their shared humor, creativity, and determination to make their remaining time meaningful. Their relationship defies social expectations and demonstrates how wisdom can flow both ways. Margot shares her lifetime of experience, while Lenny brings fresh perspective and unbridled enthusiasm to their partnership. Perhaps most powerfully, the story reminds us that legacy isn't measured in years lived, but in connections made and stories shared. As Lenny observes early in their project, even if their paintings end up discarded, at least someone will think, "That's a lot of paintings," and know that Lenny and Margot were here. In transforming their combined century of experiences into art, they ensure that something of themselves will endure beyond their physical existence. Their art becomes both a time capsule and a testament to the human spirit's capacity for creation, even in the face of mortality. In a world increasingly defined by digital connections and virtual relationships, Cronin's novel celebrates the profound impact of genuine human connection. Through small acts of kindness, shared cups of tea, whispered confidences, and paint-stained fingers, Lenny and Margot create a template for living fully until the very end. The novel suggests that even in our final days, we can find meaning, purpose, and even joy, if only we have the courage to reach out to others and share our stories. As Margot writes in her final message to Lenny, thanking her for making dying much more fun than it should be, we're reminded that how we face death ultimately reflects how we've chosen to live.